an All-Ivy first-team candidate, Jalen Llewellyn. Mm-hmm. How's he doing?
Jalen's doing great. And, you know, so just going backwards, you know this, George, like all the Ivy League players have, they're all going to have an extra year of eligibility. So Jerome and Ryan actually graduated from Princeton, and then they're what's considered graduate transfers. The transfer portal has grown immensely, as you know. But Jalen, speaking of Jalen, is a returning senior. He leads us in minutes played. You know, we were the youngest team, you know, 2 years ago in the league, one of the youngest teams in the league, and now we're quite old. But he's doing great. 6'3", long, rangy, athletic. He's got a ton of experience for us.
Very fast.
Fast. He's grown up quite a bit here. He's just spent a lot of time here. You know, again, I'm kind of, for me, it's not like it just happened yesterday that you know, we were here in March, you know, playing games, March 2020. So, you know, Jalen hasn't played in a college basketball game in quite a long time. So I want to make sure I'm not making excuses for somebody like that, but also that, you know, our practices are I'm trying to design the practices to give the veterans like, okay, hey, we've done this before. Let's get right back at it. You know, some of the same old rhythms. Cause I thought the rhythm that he was in when we stopped playing was terrific.
Richmond Arrigorosa. For 2 years, it seemed to me that he was one of the all-time best at his position. Mm. He's irreplaceable, but what are your plans for his position this year?
Well, so you have Jacob O'Connell, who is a junior, Mason Hooks, and Keyshawn Kelman. And Keyshawn really is, he's very unusual for us. A very physical, big kid, again, from Perky Omen School.
Grew up in Allentown.
Yep. From home of Gabe Llewellyn, you know, originally went to Allentown Central, like Gabe. And, you know, he's a big, physical kid. Richmond, as you said, he's a very difficult kid to replace, was long but strong, right? And big physical presence around the rim and really inhabited that space. But Keyshawn really got a chance to learn from him. He was a freshman, Richmond was a senior. So I'm hopeful that some of that's rubbed off. And I watch Keyshawn go when he works. There's a lot of the similar work ethics at things in place that you saw with Richmond.
One of my favorite kids to watch was Tosa.
Mm-hmm.
Coming over from England, you probably had no idea what to expect from him. He's certainly a surprise.
Well, yeah, and even a surprise for us. We knew he was good, but we didn't quite know how good he would be and could be. And I ended up starting him his freshman year. He played, you know, a lot of minutes as a freshman. But you know, again, if you look back on it, he's a junior now, and he hasn't played a lot in games, but. You know, I point out often in the first pin game at the Palestra, you know, snap the chest pass up the side and he gets it and rips it and right to left crossover and just lays it right in. Very confident.
A week later, he did the same thing, just about.
Yeah. Very confident kid. He has an easiness to him on the court. The game slows down for him. I think he's poised to have a terrific year.
You've got another, I'll call them core players. Ryan Langborg's coming back. Drew Freiberg from State College mm-hmm. is coming back. Ethan Wright from North Carolina. And then Max Johns is also from North Carolina. Do we expect to see those kids on the floor?
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, Charlie Bagan and Elijah Barnes both took, gap years. How would I call it? You know, so deferred for a year, that's what you say with freshmen, and then gap years for the guys to come back. So we have 7 seniors. I was looking through some of the Ivy League rosters. 19 is a lot, but that's kind of common through the league. Some of the rosters are a bit bigger, and I think it's going to be common throughout the country.
I was kind of surprised to see that many names on a roster.
Yeah, it's a lot. You know, of course. I mean, Ethan and Drew, played a lot of minutes for us. 2 years ago, started. Ethan was one of our primary defenders along with Jalen on the perimeter. Drew played was hard to take him out of games. You know, he was always, he and Schwieger were kind of your primary passers, throwing the ball into Richmond, making good decisions, you know, having the confidence to have let them and have them make decisions on the perimeter. Max has played significant minutes for us down in crunch time, started him. He's, you know, started as a sophomore, first few games of his sophomore year. And, you know, Charlie and Elijah, like, you know, while they did take a year off, they're never out of mind or out of sight. Like, Elijah's been a leader in our program, and so has Charlie for us, you know, internally during COVID, both guys. So
I got the impression that Elijah Barnes was as valuable a leader off the court
yes.
as on.
Yes, he really is. And he's got a way with relating to a lot of different kinds of people very well.
Including Senator Booker.
Yes, that's right. And he did some really, really neat work during his year off. And I think he's going to, you know, put some time into I think, that what will eventually end up being his thesis. But he and Charlie rode his bike across the country, which is just amazing. He's wearing like a little bracelet right now that he picked up somewhere in Nebraska. I don't know if it's Nebraska or South Dakota, something like that. But he's got some, you know, a lifetime of stories on one little bike trip. But it's a, George, I would just say, like, from if you pull back into 10,000 foot view, it's a really good group, a really good group of guys to work with. They and they're appreciative, and it's kind of all you want as a coach.
Frankly, I've watched you coach since you got here, and it's always been a hallmark of your team that they're close knit groups. Whether they play very well or not, they're good with each other. Mm-hmm. They get a lot out of the Princeton experience, and as an alumnus, it's very gratifying to see that kind of work.
Appreciate that, and I feel the same way.
Well, let's talk. We have a few minutes left. Let's mm-hmm. talk about your schedule. It's typically difficult. When I looked at it, I found only two Division I teams who had losing records last year. Everybody mm-hmm. else was on the plus side of the ledger. You open with Rutgers Camden, which we hope will be a nice warm up. But then you go to North Carolina. Tell us about the Asheville Championship.
Yeah. Well, it's first, you know, shoot, I was hoping we would, you know, could maybe settle in at home and play games. But, you know, the more I thought about it, this came up. Kind of learned about it through Gary Walters. Dave Odom's running that tournament down there. And
big coaching name in North Carolina.
Dave yeah. Odom. And we are getting an opportunity to play against South Carolina in Asheville, North Carolina, a really cool town and an area to be. And, you know, we sit here on early October. That's in a month, just over a month. That's going to fly by. We're going to be down there playing.
But you have two games in Asheville.
Yep.
Then you come home.
Yep. Asheville, yep.
And you have Marist.
Yep.
Tough nut to crack.
Oh, my gosh.
Coached by John Dunna. Yeah. No stranger to Princeton basketball. Yeah. He was at St. Peter's, as I recall.
That's right.
And coached St. Peter's in the Dillon Gym.
That's right. Yeah. He was nice enough to come down and play that game and let us do kind of a throwback game at Dillon. I wish we could do that again. That was a lot of fun. Marist is really well coached. Tough. You said tough nut to crack. That's exactly right. Then we've got Oregon State in Corvallis that following weekend. We fly home on Sunday and play at Monmouth on Wednesday. You know, as my wife would say, you got to fire the scheduling coach, which is me.
Well, you could get into a track meet with Monmouth. That's happened before.
Yeah. But we've also played a really close game. Devin made a buzzer beater down there a couple of years ago, and then they beat us on a buzzer beater last year, or the last time we played. So I like that game for us. It's close. It's local. It's got, you know, there's a lot of shore people that, you know, that are connected to Princeton basketball. So it's a good game for us.
You come home then with Fairleigh Dickinson, a team you've played before, and yeah. it's not a cakewalk.
No, not at all. And Greg does a really good job, you know, talk about, like, you know, very impassioned coach, and his team plays passionately for him. Then Hofstra on the road, you know, there's a really good league that we also play Drexel, who's also in the same league, the Colonial.
At least you get them at home.
Yeah. So two tough games. Bucknell is always a good one. That's your neck of the woods, usually a game where you come to, but that's here. And then we have our annual game against Lafayette. for NEO, right? So
That's the closest game to my home.
Yeah.
Easton. Yeah. And I haven't missed that one in a long time.
And then we picked up UMBC, who is actually, you know, very good. So no surprise, you know, obviously everybody remembers the game from a couple of years ago where they knocked off Virginia in the tournament, but really well-coached team by, you know, a former really great coach who was at Long Island and then Duquesne. He really knows what he's doing.
I was talking about the schedule with Tony Stevens. It was Miles Stevens' father. Yeah. And I suggested that we'd probably have a pretty easy game with Maryland.
Well,
Baltimore County. He didn't think so.
No comment. Yeah, no, they're good. They're very good.
And then you start the Ivy schedule on the road at Harvard, January 2nd.
Yeah.
You couldn't have a tougher opener on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is going to be your first season as a player at Princeton or as a coach when you won't have a three-week hole in the middle of your schedule.
Right.
How do you feel about the new look Ivy League schedule?
Well, it's going to be very different. So you, not only do you have the new look, but you've got no three-week hole and one game per week generally. You know, we play at Harvard and then we've got a week off. So does everybody else. So tactics and gamesmanship before were, how do you manage the week on back-to-backs? You know. Yeah, how do you manage time spent working on things? Now you've got a whole week to prepare for certain situations. And then you're back to old school Ivy hoops on other weekends where you've got the back-to-backs.
But it had to be terribly difficult to have a three-week hole in your schedule in January. It's the middle of the year and you don't play.
It was so normal because I had done it both as a player and a coach. It was so normal to us, but it was so difficult. And the rhythms just completely leave you. The rhythm of playing. There's nothing that's the same as playing. You know, playing games. You know.
Well, looking back, your big year, of course, was 2017. And you played at Dartmouth after the three-week hiatus and had a tough time in
very
the first half.
Game. Two very difficult games that weekend. I think we ended up maybe winning by a couple at Dartmouth. But we were out of rhythm. And we had practiced as hard as we could. You know, I just think that's a long trip. You know, you've got the game the next night. You know, we were in a good spot going into that game, but, you know.
I remember the next night very clearly.
Yeah,
that was one of the highlights, I think, of your career, beating Harvard up there.
Fun. Yeah. We had a really tough game the year before in 2016 up there. So we always had a lot of good games with Harvard. This last game we played with Harvard came down to 1 point.
Well, you have to make the trip north twice. That can't be something you look forward to.
It's those long bus rides, George. They're not you sort of like. Normally, you'd like to do them all in one swoop, like you usually do. But I can tell you, I'm not gonna miss getting back in at 3:30 or 4 in the morning. Those are long weeks, and you know, hopefully, the league seems to have agreed that, you know, these games can be played a little bit earlier. So you're going to be getting the kids home at a decent hour on Saturdays so that they can actually get some sleep. And, you know, Sundays can be managed okay. You know, if we don't have a game on Monday, right? Like, so.
You do once.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll close this up very quickly, Coach. Every team is like yours, a lot of inexperience, a lot of players who have not played before. Do you have a feeler? Can you tell me, in your opinion at this point, who are the teams most likely to challenge for a spot in the Ivy League tournament?
So, you know, I think we're right there. I believe in this team. And, you know, if you look at the roster, there's quite a bit of experience on the roster. Obviously, you've mentioned we lost some significant pieces with Jerome Ryan and Richmond. You know, I think Harvard looks strong. Yale had really key pieces from a championship year that are back. Swain, Gavadon, to mention a couple. Penn, not as familiar with, but, you know, had a really terrific freshman, the kid that went to Blair. You know, the Cho's coming back to Brown. You know, you've got Barry coming back to Dartmouth. So I think the league looks really good. I just think we've all had time to kind of readjust. I think the kids are going to be really hungry. I think the kids are going to play hard. They normally play really hard. We all get a chance to sort of get ready in November and December for what's going to be a big slog for 10 weeks.
Well, I hope you will be ready. I'm sure you will be. I appreciate once again the opportunity to chat with you, Coach. And this is a popular feature on our site. A lot of people tune in to hear what you have to say. So thanks again.
Well, thank you, George.
And we'll see you next month.
Yeah, all right. Looking forward to it. I really appreciate seeing you too, George. Thanks a lot.